You are worthy. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will meet us in this morning. I pray that the Allos Paracletos will be in this house. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will touch us. I pray that your word will find an entry point. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that the spirit of counsel be in this house. We worship you, we honor you, we praise you. We give you all the glory. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are our faith. Our faith starts in you and it ends in you. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the lily of the valley. You are the rose of Sharon. You are my banner. Jehovah Nissi. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. You can have your seat. Pastor Leon couldn't make it today and this morning, so you'll have to listen to me. Don't stress, you will survive. You will survive. I might not survive, but I know that you will have grace for me. I just honor the spiritual father of this house, Pastor Leon de Prier. He is my hero. I hope that you have a hero, because you need a hero in life. You need a dream. You need a goal. You have a destiny. And I just want to thank him. Thank Pastor Essie for this opportunity. It's not easy to stand here and talk to you. I want to tell you guys that I get extremely nervous just doing the announcements. That already is for me a challenge. So just have grace. Just say grace. You can smile. You will survive. All right, so what we are going to speak about today is overcoming the spirit of Amalek. And what we're going to teach you guys today is specific spiritual principles that you can appropriate in your life and that we know that you can overcome. Tell your neighbor that after this service, I will know how to overcome. It's going to be very short, so don't miss it. Martin said to me yesterday, he said to me, all right, just preach the sermon to me. Then I say, overcoming Amalek. But anyway, we're going to just teach you guys some spiritual principles. These principles have caused certain breakthroughs in my life from a very young age. I have learned these principles from a very young age, and I know that you guys will benefit from this, because this is the weapon that I use to pray for my family, that I use to pray for Martin. I had to pray for him for 10 years before God saved his life, and these principles was the principles that I appropriated in my life. I didn't have an ECC, I didn't have a Pastor Leon, so don't stress. If you're going to pray, it's not going to take you 10 years. Let's just get that on the table. You have a mighty prophet in your midst, and that's why it might take you. There will be acceleration. There will be acceleration. There is hope. Tell your neighbor, there is hope. So what Paul is talking about in Ephesians 6, and he says this, and he's busy describing how this Roman soldier, remember Paul was in caught by the Romans and he was in prison, and what he was seeing is a Roman soldier. So he compared the Roman armor to what we have on as a spiritual people. So I don't want to go into that, but he says this, for we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. The word high places, eros, it means the atmosphere below the mountaintops. So what he is talking about, he says first of all that our fight is not against flesh and blood. What it actually says there in the Bible is that the wrestle to us. Then he used this word and he says against, against, against. So you must know that when God is repetitive, something is very important. And he wants you to understand that the fight is against, against principalities, against powers. You might think that the wrestle is against your husband, or the wrestle is against your wife, but the wrestle is against principalities, powers, rulers of the dark world. So this word against in the Greek is describing somebody that is standing toe to toe, eyeball to eyeball, face to face against the enemy. So Paul is describing a battle. Do you know that you are in a battle? Are you Christians? The moment that you signed up as a Christian, it all began. The battle began. The wrestle to us began. Against, against, eyeball to eyeball, toe to toe, face to face. So Paul is describing somebody and he says, I am bloodthirsty. He says that I go to the enemy's camp and I strike him before he even wake up, before he even wake up. So he says that I have a bully mentality. He's talking about being a bully. He said that I will strike the enemy down before the enemy even comes to my camp. Against, against, eyeball to eyeball, toe to toe, and face to face. Before you even get up in the morning, you need to understand that the principalities and the powers of the dark world is against your destiny, it's against your promise, it's against the vision that God has for you. So you better know, the night that you go to bed already, that when you wake up in the morning at 4 o'clock, you're already in the enemy's camp, and you're already standing toe to toe, eyeball to eyeball, face to face. And you strike the enemy before he can get to your house. You have to plan. Don't go to sleep without planning, but plan your morning. Get up at 4 o'clock. Plan your morning. Plan the battle, the wrestle to us against, against. Are you ready? All right. So today, when you walk out of this place, you will have a principle how to stand up against, against. Say to your neighbor, against. So Paul describes the Israelites and what was written down in the Old Testament as an example to us. So the Israelites, they represent the church. So I want you guys to stay with me. This is spiritual principles. Be spiritual for 20 minutes. So what he says is they called Israel the church in the congregation in the wilderness. All right. So they were called the church, and everything in the Old Testament was written down for us as an example. So I quickly want to take you guys back in history where the first battle was recorded. So go with me to Exodus 17 verse 8. Exodus 17 verse 8. So these are the covenant people of God. They have a promise. They have a dream, and they are going somewhere. Are you covenant people of God? Do you have a dream? Do you know where you're going? That is the reason that the devil is coming up against you, that the principalities is coming up against you, because you have a covenant with a living God. You have a promise. Every morning when you get up and there is breath inside of you, He knows that you are called for a purpose and for a destiny. And that's why there was a battle. So the reason for the battle was because these guys were going to their promised land. Are you guys going to the promised land? Do you know that this church has got a vision? Do you know where we are going? Mickey knows where we are going. All right, so let's read it. It says, now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he laid down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called it the name, the Lord is my banner. For the Lord said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So I want to explain to you who Amalek was. Amalek was a vicious people. They were unrelenting, brutal towards Israel. And this attack and their brutality towards Israel started with this attack in Rephidim. They were called in the Bible the first amongst nations, and these guys were bloodthirsty. They were a warlike people. I want you to see these guys, and they were attacking God's people. So Israel had inheritance. Israel had a birthright. Israel had a destiny. And suddenly an enemy rocks up while they are going to their promised land. And they are fighting with Israel to hinder them, to take away their inheritance, to take away their birthright, to stop them in their tracks. Are you feeling and or find yourself sometimes in a place where you know that God has called you? You know that God is with you. You know that God has given you a promise. But there is just no breakthrough. There is just stuff that hinders you. You just cannot have breakthrough. Do we have people in this house? Can you relate to that? There's a lot of people that receive prophecies in this house. Just put up your hand if you have received a prophecy in this house before. That is a lot of people. You have a promise. God has spoken His word. But you don't see this promise come to pass. Suddenly everything and all hell breaks loose because of that promise. So God says to you that your family will serve God. But now suddenly everything is falling apart. So suddenly the spirit of Amalek is coming against God's anointed and promises of God's people. So Amalek is a descendant of Esau. It was the grandson of Esau. It represents the carnal man, the fleshly man. On the other hand, we have Jacob, who is a spiritual man, and his descendants are Israel. So Amalek means to doubt. Its primary meaning means doubt. It means haughty. It means arrogant. So what happens here? You have a promise from God. And suddenly, the flesh comes up, and the spirit of doubt comes in. And it becomes a stronghold. It becomes a habit. It forms a stronghold. And there is just no breakthrough. And the moment that you know that doubt has come in, you know that the spirit of Amalek is already at hand. If you doubt that this church is called by God, if you doubt that the pastor and the father of this house has been called by God, if you doubt that the word that comes from this pulpit is from God, you might find yourself in a battle, toe to toe, eyeball to eyeball, face to face with the spirit of Amalek. And doubt is the killer of faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. If you're not going to have faith to push through to the promised land, doubt is going to take you out. Are you still alive? This constant doubt comes against your purpose. It comes against your authority. The moment that you stand in front of somebody and you have to cast out a demon, and the spirit of doubt comes up, and you think, oh God, I cannot do this. I don't know how to do this. That spirit comes against your authority. And the moment that you submit to that doubt, that thing overcomes you. The spirit of Amalek overcomes you. This is a spirit that operates in three dimensions. It operates in the world. through the world. It operates through your flesh. And it operates through the devil. I'm going to show you guys how to overcome it in those three dimensions. Are you still alive? So what happens here in verse 9? Benny, verse 9. I think we said Benny the most from this pulpit. All right, so Moses says this. He says, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. It's going to require warfare. Don't think because you are a Christian and that Jesus Christ has done everything for you on the cross that you do not have to appropriate the blood on your life. Yes, the blood has done everything. Yes, Jesus Christ has won every foe on the planet on the cross. But you still have to appropriate the spiritual principles and the blood on your life. If there's soap in your bathroom and you walk past the door, you're still going to stink. You have to appropriate the soap on your body. You have to do something. You have soap in your bathroom. The soap is there. You have paid for the soap. It smells nice if you walk past the bathroom. But if somebody else is in your presence, you stink. You have to appropriate the blood. Christ Jesus has done it all. But He says, choose some men and fight. There is a fight. The warfare is against us. Eyeball to eyeball. Toe to toe. The depression is not going to go away. The rejection is not going to go away. It's going to come against you. It's going to want to take you out. It's going to bring doubt that this house is even, this is even your house. You have to fight. It's going to require some warfare. It's going to require that you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And you have to pray. Your life is more important than the depression that comes against you. For Jesus Christ wrote the door to your house. He wrote the door to your house. Why do you listen to the voice outside? Don't submit. Don't submit to the flesh. For the flesh says, I'm sitting and I want to fulfill this need and satisfy this need. I want to watch porn. I want to watch pornography. But you're still in a carnal state. Paul says, when are you going to move beyond the carnal state, beyond the flesh, beyond smoking or not smoking, drinking or non-drinking, watching porn or not watching porn? You're always going to be subject to that. But you at ECC has a promise, and you are a spiritual people that are not subject to your emotion, that are not subject to the things of this flesh. And Amalek comes, and Amalek says, nobody is seeing you. Just watch that porn. And suddenly you are subject to the flesh. And your destiny is just waving goodbye. And you feel condemned. But God says that you can take Amalek down. You can take Amalek down. And I'm going to show you how. So first of all, He said, take some men. And I want to read you this. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So the hill and the mountain speaks of a kingdom. You must be in the kingdom. You must understand that Jesus Christ spoke more about the kingdom than anything else. And He said that I came to show you a different kingdom. I came to show you a Basilia. I came to show you your right to royal power, the right to dominion, the right to authority. That is what you walk in. You are not from this world. You are from a different kingdom. Start thinking differently. Don't be subject to the kingdom of this world. But the Basilia of God, you should operate out of it. The right to royal power, the right to dominion, the right to authority. That is your right. Say to your neighbor, I will strike Amalek down. When you get up in the morning and you have not strike Amalek down yet, He's going to come for you during the day. Get up in the morning and pull Him down. Strike Him down. Strike your emotion, put it subject to Christ. Because you operate from a kingdom that's higher. So go up to the mountain. God said that I will meet you at the mountain. I have said this last time. And I don't know if you can remember. When Moses and Joshua were on the mountain, the Israelites were making a golden calf. So Moses is up high and Joshua is lower waiting for Moses. So Moses gets to Joshua and Moses says, "What am I hearing?" And Joshua says that you hear the sound of war. So Moses said, "You are hearing wrong. I hear the sound of joyful worship. Wherever you are situated on the mountain is going to determine what you hear. You need to be on the top of the mountain to be able to hear the voice of God clearly. Do you understand?" So what Amalek does is, preceding this battle, God has given Moses a promise. These guys were drinking water from a rock. These guys had manna from heaven. They walked through dry land, through a sea. They had promises. Do you have promises? God has called you. Suddenly, Pastor Leon calls you out. And there's a prophecy that says that you're going to be a mighty prophet. You have manna, you have water. But Amalek is coming. And Amalek will bring doubt. And Amalek will strike you down. Because it's after your inheritance. It's after that prophecy. Because if you're not going to fulfill what God has called you for, this world will be... what is the word that I want to use? We will lack something. Other people's destinies are inside of you. They are locked up inside of you. If you're going to fulfill your destiny, do you know how many people in this country will come to Christ? But He will do everything to keep you from that destiny. So what Amalek does is, it comes and attacks you when you are weary. It's not going to come when you are full of the Spirit of God. It comes when you are feeling sick. When you are feeling fed up, I don't know if that's a word, if you are feeling fed up, if you are tired, if your soul is tired, and it says, "Then I'm going to come," and it will come from the back, and it will strike you down. But what Moses did is, he had two people around him, one on the left, one on the right, and when he was weary, they held up his hands. Who is around you? Who is standing around you? Who is on your left? Who is on your right? If you have an independent spirit, then Amalek will take you out. I need people around me. I cannot do this alone. Pastor Leon cannot do this alone. He needs you guys to understand that there's a vision locked up inside of him. And you guys are that vision. But Amalek is going to try to take you out. You cannot do this alone. Fellowship. I never believed in fellowship. I never believed in fellowship. I didn't even like to talk to people. Because I thought I was so spiritual. I just wanted to talk about spiritual things, and these people cannot talk about spiritual things, and they frustrated me. But I knew, I came to the realization, I need fellowship. I need you guys. I need the people around me. I need to talk to them. Fellowship is what God has started in heaven. Heaven's dimensions are built on fellowship. Adam was in fellowship with God. The moment that he fell, he was outside of fellowship with God. We need people around us. So what happens? When there is fellowship, I give you something of me. I give you my heart. But if there is no fellowship, the familiarity will come in, because familiarity says, "I don't want you to know who I am." But fellowship says, "I want you to know who I am. Here is a piece of me. I need you guys around me." Pastor Leon needs you guys around him to be strong when his arms are weary, so that you guys can fight Amalek. You have to fight. This is a supernatural battle. You have to strike Amalek down. When it comes up in your mind, you have to strike it down. So I want to quickly show you guys how this works. So firstly, we said that Amalek comes through the world. How do we overcome the world? 1 John 5 verse 4. Say, overcome the world. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that we has, that has overcome the world, our faith. It doesn't say whoever. It says whatever. Whatever in your life is born out of God will overcome this world. Whatever in your life is not born from above, you will be subject to that. Let everything in your life be born from God. If your emotions is not yet born from God, let it be born from God through the faith that is inside of you. Do you have faith in a living God? By your faith, you overcome the world. If you operate in doubt, you must know that Amalek is at work in your mind and have already formed certain strongholds, and we need to strike him down. So how do we overcome the flesh? Romans 8 verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What are you living according to? You have to kill the flesh. You have to mortify the flesh. The New King James says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Kill it. When the flesh comes up in the morning and says you need to do certain things, kill it. Kill it immediately. Don't let it have rambak in your cup. Don't let it think even one thing in your head. If Amalek comes against your marriage, strike it down. If Amalek comes against your business, strike it down. If Amalek comes against your children, strike it down. You have the ability to reach your promise. Everything that you need is already inside of you. The blueprint for your life is inside your spirit. You don't need anything else to be able to make it through. Understand spiritual principles. So he says then, how to overcome the devil. You guys know this. James 4 verse 7. Resist the devil and he will flee. Become a part of a resistance. Resistance is not passivity. People think that Jesus Christ has done everything which he has done. But we think that we don't have to fight. Paul says you need to fight. Become a part of a resistance. Somebody that resists the devil every time that he comes against you. All right, so let's go. Then when Moses had these people around him, his hands were steady. I want to encourage you guys to be surrounded with people that can keep your hands up. You know what? When I was still on drugs, very long ago, I would lock myself in my room so that I won't go out and do drugs. And I will pray up until the spirit will break, because that spirit wanted to take me out. But I will do everything that I can to break that spirit. When the devil comes in with doubt and it says that you will not be able to make it, whatever you do, if you lock yourself in your room and you pray, that means you are fighting. That means that the promise is greater than the attack. The vision is greater than the attack. So I want to just teach you guys how we're going to do this, and then we'll finish. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So the edge of the sword is speaking of the sword of the Spirit. So in Ephesians 6 verse 17, that's one of our armor, it says this. It says then, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the breath of God. The sword of the Spirit is the judicial punishment that God has given you, and it's the breath of God inside of you. And if you open your mouth, then you will bring and strike Amalek down. It's the punishment that you will bring, judicial punishment over every force of Satan by the things that you say. So what happens is you're going to read the Logos word, and suddenly the Holy Spirit will illuminate a scripture to you. It becomes the sword of the Spirit. It becomes alive inside of you. And you take that word and you declare it to the atmosphere. And if the devil comes in, you take the word of God. You can just take, let's say, Psalms. It's a very, very powerful book. It says here, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes come upon me to eat my flesh, they stumble and fall. So you take that word and you start declaring it in your bedroom. As you pray, as you get up in the morning, and you say, every foe that's going to camp around me will fall. That's how you use the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, the breath of God inside of you. It is there to cause additional punishment over Amalek, and you have to strike him down. So if the devil comes in with doubt, you take the word of God and you strike him down. I will pray over my son, and I will say, you will take the gates of your enemy. I am using my judicial punishment to execute judgment of every lie over his life. And I say that you will take the gates of your enemy. And I will pray over him. And I will take the word of God and I will declare it. That's how I prayed for Martin. And I prayed over him. If God said that you and your family will be saved, then you take that word and you declare it. If you have to pray it for an hour, you declare it up until Amalek comes down. Up until you strike Amalek down. So if he comes against your business, go and look for a passage or scripture that says that God is going to prosper you. And you declare it into the atmosphere. If depression comes, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And you declare it over your life because it's the breath of God. It will bring additional punishment over every force of Satan that comes against you. So listen to this. I'm just quickly going to tell you guys a story that happened. When I was younger, before I was at ECC, I received the SMS that said that there's a young boy in hospital dying and they're going to put off the machines. So I very seldom ever react to SMSs like that. And I just put it aside. And then Martin went to sleep and Josh went to sleep and God reminded me of that SMS. And I picked it up and I read it again and I started praying over this young man. I didn't know the young man. I didn't know him. And then God took me to Psalms 1 and it says to me, I am going to change nations with this man. So now I knew that I had the sword of the Spirit to execute traditional punishment over the force of death over this young man's life. So I took that word and I found out where this man was lying and I went up to his bed and I said, God is going to change nations with you. And I turned around and I walked away and I said to Martin, that's all I know to do. And in 2 weeks, that man was at home 100% fine. Because I understood the principle of taking up the breath of God. It talks about the ruha, that ha piece, ruha. It means God breathing out. He never breathes in. Everything is about him as he gives. So the moment that you take the breath of God and you execute judgment over your situation, over your marriage, over everything that comes against your mind, no devil can stand. So now what they did is, then the Lord said to Moses, write this for the memorial and the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua. Do you know that God has books? He's got a book of life. A story about you. Your book has been written before the foundations of the earth. He's got a story and a book about you. He's got a book of memorial. And we're going to go into that now. He's got a book of tears. Psalms 39, I think. Psalms 56. Every time that you have cried, every time that the devil came against you and you have cried, God has recorded it in his book of tears. He's got a book of memorial deeds. You can read about it in Esther. Then he's got a book of war. And that war word in the Hebrew is mushama. It means a book of warriors. Are you a warrior? Hey, Doesn't sound like a good army. Are you a warrior? You have to have the mentality. If the devil comes to you, you need to tell him, do you know who my father is? You know that David said that before he saw Goliath. And he asked, and this is the question that he asked, and he said, who is his father? You need to tell the devil that is an uncircumcised Philistine. Do you know who my father is? You need to tell that problem in your marriage. Do you know who my father is? You need to tell that problem in your business. Do you know who my father is? You have to tell that problem in your mind. Do you know who my father is? You are an uncircumcised Philistine, and I will take you out and I will smite you with the edge of the sword. So this book of warriors talks about every time that you decide to fight, every time that you decide that I'm going to fight the enemy, your name has been written in that book of warriors. Do you know that that's in heaven? That your name is written in the book of war. And they can recount this. And when this comes up, Matthew, your name is there. Do you know your name is there? Liesl, your name is written in the book of warriors because you have decided to appropriate your victory through fighting an enemy that's already defeated. Then Moses said, God said to Moses, write this in a book, a memorial. Why do we have a memorial? A memorial is there to remind us. We're going to put a statue here of Nelson Mandela. We're going to be reminded every day of what he has done for this country. All right, are you guys with me? Memorial. So it's there as a constant reminder. So God says to Israelite, write this in the book of memorial. And you recite it in the years of Joshua. Every time that Joshua felt doubt, every time that Joshua felt that I cannot go on, they will read this fight in his ears and he will have courage. Every time that the devil came against you, it is written in the book of memorial. And God doesn't take it lightly if the devil comes against his children. And he said that I will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. There will be a future generation that will take down Amalek and blot out their name from the planet. Your name is written there. Every time that the devil told you that you're not good enough, every time that he came against you, every time that he came against your family, against your marriage, it's written in the book of memorial. You better start to fight. Fight with this book. You take the book of memorial and you say, Lord, I remind you of this battle. And I pray that you will take vengeance on my behalf. To hell with the devil. You better fight. Every day in the future, remind, God is going to be reminded of this war that took place. You have a promise. You have a promise. You have a father in this house that has a promise for you. Don't think that he came here and just had a promise. He had to fight for that promise. He had to fight for everything that you see in this place. It didn't happen. He had to fight. If Satan attacks you, God writes it in a book of memorial. You better take out that book and show it in the face of Satan. When Satan comes against you, this means war. When Satan comes against your marriage, this means war. Or you're just going to sit there and just say, oh, I cannot do this. Oh, I'm a victim. My greatness, get the sword of the Spirit. If depression comes, if a negative spirit comes, this means war. You need to fight. So I'm going to close over this. In 2 Samuel 1, Benny, you can get it ready. God said this. He gave Saul an instruction. And he said to Saul, kill the Amalekites. Don't keep anything back. Kill them. Destroy them. And he was disobedient and he caused God to reject him as a king. And I want to read you guys what happened. Now it came to pass, 2 Samuel 1 verse 1. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had stayed 2 days in Ziklag, on the third day, behold, it happened that a man came to Saul from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dust on his head. So it was when he came to David that he fell to the ground and prostrated himself. And David said to him, "Where have you come from?" So he said to him, "I have escaped from the camp of Israel." Then David said to him, "How did this matter go? Please tell me." And he answered, "The people have fled from the battle. Many of the people are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, the son, are dead also." So Saul was wounded in the battle. And Saul couldn't kill himself. He wanted to kill himself to spare honor, but he couldn't do it. And he had to ask somebody to kill him. And this young man was there. So verse 6, then the young man who told him said, "As I happened by chance to be on Mount Gilboa, there was Saul, leaning on his spear, and instead the chariots and the horsemen followed hard of him. Now when he looked behind him, he saw me and called to me, and I answered, 'Here I am.' And he said to me, 'Who are you?' And he said, 'I am an Amalekite.'" He was not supposed to be there. He was supposed to be destroyed when God gave Saul the instruction to destroy Amalek. But he was disobedient. So an Amalekite killed him. And this is what the Amalekite did. Verse 10. "So I stood over him and killed him, because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen." And this is what he did. "And I took the crown that was on his head." If you are not going to fight Amalek and the doubt, Amalek is going to kill you, and it's going to take the crown off your head. And then we look at Revelation 3 verse 11. And this is in direct contrast to what happened with Saul. And it says this, verse 3, Revelation 3 verse 11, you got it. "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown." God is coming. And He's not coming for a Mickey Mouse people. He's coming for a bride. He's coming for warriors. He's coming for people that will take the sword of the Spirit and that will strike Amalek down. If you are not going to strike Amalek down, it will kill you and it will steal your crown. Say to your neighbor, "I have a crown." Let no man steal your crown. Don't submit to the suggestions, but be subject to the truth. I want to quickly just show you guys, this is my last verse. This is the first recorded war song in the Bible. Numbers 21, verse 16 and 17. I'll just read it for you. So these guys were standing and they didn't have water. They're in the desert, they don't have water. So God says, this is what you should do. Go to the well called Beer. It's not castle, it's a beer. All right. Where the Lord said to Moses, "Gather the people together and I will give them water." Then Israel sang a song. "Spring up a well." Can you sing that? Stand. Let's just stand. Can you have and take part of the first war song that is recorded in the book? And it says, "Spring up a well." I have prophesied this over my husband for hours. I will sing in my room. "Spring up a well." Come on, prophesy over your marriage. "Spring up a well." Prophesy over your business. Come on, prophesy.